Daf is Daf Chaf Beis. So we got to the bottom of Chaf Aleph on Beis, four lines up, two dots. The Gemara says, Bai Mine. Asks the Gemara, Bai Mine Ula Bar Rav Me Rava. Ula asks Rava the following question. Parshas Rosh Chodesh Ketzad Karonasa. How exactly do you do a breakup of Rosh Chodesh? Because the problem is, there are, Gemara explains, Tzavitz Bnei Sova Martar Lehem. That's the pasuk we read for, the parsha we read for Rosh Chodesh. As Karboni Lachmi, Dehavin Tam Ne Psuke. It's eight psukim long only, and we have to read how many aliyahs?
Four.
Right, we need to read four. So four divided, eight divided by four is only two. That leaves only two psukim per aliyah. We need at least three aliyahs. Three psukim, so we need 12 psukim. So the Gemara says, Hechi Navid, how do we do this? Nikre Trey, if you read Trey, Tlasa, Tlasa, Psukim, Pashlu Trey. So if you read two of them, three and three, so that's you cover six. And then, again, referring to the eight psukim later on, if you look in the psukim, they're really more than eight, but they're concerned with the first eight. So if you read Trey Tlasa Tlasa, two liyas of three psukim each, so that's going to be six psukim. Pashalu Trey, there's going to be only two psukim left over from those eight psukim. So what's the problem if you leave over two psukim? Read two psukim from that parsha, and then read some psukim from the next parsha coming up. So the Gemara says, Vein Mishayrin Beparsha Pachas Mishlosha Psukim. There's a klal, you're not allowed to leave two psukim until the break. You know, there are different breaks in the between the different partials. You're not allowed to leave two psukim before the end of the break. The Gemara will explain why that's a concern. Then the Gemara says, so Nikre Arba Arba, so read four and four. So you have the eight psukim divided at four and four, you have two liyas. Problem is, then you have Pashulu Shiva, Ubiyama Shavas Havitre. So then the next pasuk is, you have seven left over. Because the way it works is, the Karban Tamid, the Imparshas Pinchas is where you find these psukim. Karban Tamid is the first thing that we read, which is the carbon you bring every day. Those psukim are eight. Then the next thing that's mentioned here is Shabbos, which Shabbos is, there are two psukim mentioning of Yom HaShabbos. And then there's the last, third parsha, which is Rosh HaChodeshim, which is Rosh Chodesh, which is why we read this whole section. So the problem is, you have eight, two, and five. So first Gemara is dealing with, how do you get to the eight psukim? So you do two, if you do three and three, then you have leftover two. You can't leave over two in a parsha. So now the Gemara is suggesting do four and four. So you've knocked out the eight pasuk parsha. But now you have to get two aliyahs that have two and five. Two is this Shabbos, and then five is Rosh Chodesh. How do you deal with this? So, Havin Chavisha, Heicha Navid, what do you do with the last seven psukim? Again, broken up two and five. Nikre Che Meha, if you read two psukim from Shabbos, so you've completed that section of Shabbos, V'chad Mehanach, and then you read one pasuk from Rosh Chodesh, so the problem is, so now you've covered that three psukim, I know this is very technical. The klal is, Ein maschilin b'parsha pachas mishlosha psukim. You're not allowed to begin a parsha less than three psukim. Every time you begin a new section, you have to read at least three psukim into that parsha. You can't read just one pasuk into it. So now what are you supposed to do? So the Gemara says, maybe what you should do is read likre trei meha, read two psukim of Shabbos, psukim, and tlasa meha, and read three psukim into Rosh Chodesh. So now you went three psukim into the next parsha. Problem is, Pashalu Trey. Now you have two left over at the end of the five Pasuk Parsha. You can't leave over less than three. So there's a dilemma. So Rosh Chodesh is very complicated how you do the Kriya Satar. The Gemara explains, Amar Lo, Zu Lo Shemati. I didn't hear about, so Rava, who's responding to Ula, Rava said, I never heard the Shaila, which happens to be fascinating. How do you not hear the Shaila? You imagine he lived a few Rosh Chodeshim in his life. And at this point, he was being asked Shaila, so he was certainly a posek and a Rav at the time. He didn't know the answer. So I don't know what the custom was then. Apparently, something has changed. We know already the end of Megillah tells us that they used to finish the Sefer Torah every 3 years. So then it wouldn't be a crazy thing that they changed Rosh Chodesh as well. So he didn't know what the answer was to the Shaila. I don't know the answer. I'm just thinking out loud. But he says, Kayotzi Bashamati, I heard a similar case, which maybe we could apply to the case of Rosh Chodesh. Which case did he hear? And he heard it because it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that Tanan, the Mishnah appears in the end of Maseches Tainis, is talking about the different Mamados. Mamados took, I think we mentioned this before, earlier maybe, Mamados were that when the Kohanim, the different Mishmaros, were broken up into 24, the Kohanim had 24 different Mishmaros, and in those Mishmaros, a number of families were in that. The number 24 is a very big number, and maybe I mentioned this in the past when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash, 24 Mishmaros. What other 24s do we have? Anyone know? Huh? Manos, exactly. The Gemara and Rambam list 24 Manos Kuna. He breaks up, some are for Yushalayim, some are for Grulim, 24 Manos Kuna. 12. But I guess you do put old and new, so when they're pushing off, it goes to 24, maybe at that time. It's typically viewed as 12. Any other ones? The Gemara says a few places that there are 24 places in the Torah and Tanakh where it says the word Levim, but it's referring to Kohanim. They're interchanged at 24 times it happens. And there 24 does appear several times. So it's a big number in the world of the Beis HaMikdash. So either way, so the Mamados, so the Mishmaros for the Kohanim were split up. So just like the Kohanim, different posts, also the among the non-Kohanim, they also had different Mamados where they would go to the local shul and they would lain because every carbon has to have a Baal, someone who's standing over the carbon. So when I bring my own personal chatas, I'm the Baal. But the carbon tamid, which is supposed to be for everybody, who's the Baal, who represents? So they pick certain members of non-Kohanim who get together as representing the Tzibor, and they would go to the Beis Knesset, they would go to Beis Mikdash, and they would lay in different parshios. It would be a special day for these Jews who are picked. So in laning, they would lane from Parshas Bereishis. That was the special laning when, if you were chosen as part of the Mamados, you would lane from Parshas Bereishis, right in the beginning of Maisa Bereishis. So the Mishnah that they're quoting here explains how you do this. So they first say, B'yom HaRishon, the first day, they would read throughout the week. So Sunday, B'yom HaRishon, they would read Bereishis, the first day of creation. Then they would read Vayi Rakia, V'tana Allah, so that's what they would read on the first day. So the Tani Allah, the Brisa comments on this Mishnah, Bereishis B'shnaim, so you split up Parshas, the first Bereishis, you'd split up in two Aliyahs, and Yehirakia Be'echad, that's one Aliyah. So Vavinam Ba, so they ask the question, Bishma Yehirakia Be'echad T'lasa P'sukah, the Parsha of Yehirakia is three P'sukim, so that you could read as one Aliyah. Ela Bereishis, if you look in Parshas Bereishis, Bereishis, that first section is only B'shnaim, how do you read with two? It's Chamisha P'sukah, it's only five P'sukim. How could you break five psukim among two people? Each aliyah requires three psukim. How do you split up five psukim into two aliyahs? So Vitanya, Hakori B'Torah lo yifchos mishlosh psukim. The guy who reads, the Baal Kori can't read less than three psukim. So how do you deal with Parshas? How do you split up five psukim into two if each aliyah has to have three psukim? There's only five to go around, only two and a half for each. It doesn't make sense. The Gemara comments that Itamar Allah, Rav, had a machlokish with Shmuel. Rav Amar Doleg, Ushmuel Amar Posek. Rav says, what does Doleg mean? You would repeat. Doleg usually means to jump. In this context, it means to repeat. You'd read Pasuk 1, 2, 3, and then you'd read 3, 4, 5 for the second aliyah. That's the position of Rav. And Shmuel says, Posek, no, you split in the middle. You read 2.5 psukim, and then you read a half a Pasuk, and then another 2 psukim. That's how you split 5 into 2 aliyahs. So that's the Machlokas, Rav and Shmuel. So Gemara is going to explain the Machlokas, and then that's the answer. Maybe we could apply back to Rosh Chodesh, the same dilemma that we have. We had to deal with the 5 psukim and the end of Rosh Chodeshim, so you could perhaps either split it up, 2.5, 2.5, or you could have a Pasuk repeated, which we do. We do repeat the Pasuk in the beginning of the Rosh Chodesh Lenin. So Gemara explains, what does Machlokas, whether you stop in the middle of the Pasuk or you repeat a Pasuk? So Rav Amar Dole, you repeat the Pasuk, my timer, lo amar posik, why does he not say not to stop? The very important klal, kasavar called psuka de lopaski moshe on lopaski nalem. Any pasuk that Moshe Benu did not interrupt, we cannot make our own interruption. There's very halachal mice when it comes to quoting for certain psukim, before a kiddush in particular. Certain psukim is not a full pasuk. We quote some of them, Al-Kain, exactly. Al-Kain is not a full pasuk, it's a half a pasuk. So some say you can't do that. You have to say a full pasuk based on this klal. Others say it's not. It's only when it comes to kriyas haTorah that this klal apply. When you're just reciting psukim, this klal doesn't necessarily apply. There are other answers that are given as well. Shmuel Amar Paskin Alev. Shmuel thinks you can interrupt the pasuk midway. The Ha'amar Rebbe Hanina Krad Tzar Gadol Hayali. Eitzer Rebbe Hanina Gadol. V'lo Hitili Lepsok El Tinokos Shabes Rabbam. It was very difficult for Rebbe Hanina. But he's reading children, teaching the children in Tinoko, Shabbos Rabban, how to read. So there he's able to split up the psukim, but it was very, very hard for him to do this. But only in that particular case, teaching kids word by word, that was to teach them. You can't teach a kid, remember the pasuk right away. When they're learning to read, you have to teach one word at a time. And you do break up psukim. But that was only in the exception of children learning how to learn. But it comes to Kriyas HaTorah and the Tzibor, there's no heter to split up a pasuk. So how could Shmuel allow to stop in the middle of a pasuk? So the Gemara says, Hasam time am I. Why was there a heter for the children to stop in the middle of the pasuk? Mishum de lo efshir. There's no other option. Because if you try to teach them one full pasuk, they're not going to get it straight. So because it's impossible, you're allowed to split up the pasukim by words. So he says, therefore, too, here as well, Hachanami lo efshir. When it comes to the laning of the mamados, you have 5 pasukim in Bereishis. You have no other option. So therefore, we allow you to read 2.5 and 2.5 pasukim. So that's the reason for Shmuel. So now the Gemara wants to know, okay, that's a very nice explanation, but Shmuel, Amar Posek, my time alo, Amar Doleg. Why didn't he say like Rav, so maybe repeating a Pasuk would be just as good? Why not allow you to repeat a Pasuk, like Rav says? So he explains, Gezeira Mishum HaNichnasim Mishum HaYotzim. People who come in late and the people who leave early. Because of them, it's going to get confusing. Why would that get confusing? Because the guy who leaves late, so he sees the first, the Rishon, reads three Psukim, and there are two Psukim left over. He's going to assume for Levi, they're only going to read two Psukim, because only two Psukim are left in that section. And that's not permitted. You have to read three Psukim. And the guys who come in late, they only hear Levi. They don't hear Cohen. So he, Levi, starts from Pasuk number, Pasuk Gimel, the third Pasuk. And they're going to think, oh, they probably only read two psukim for the Kohen, which wasn't true. So the repeating psukim creates these issues. So that's the machlokas Rav and Shmuel. Again, Rav says to repeat psukim, and Shmuel says to interrupt, stop in the middle. So the Gemara asks, Amesive parsha shel shisha psukim, korna sa bishnayim. If you have a six pasuk parsha, you split it up into two aliyahs, three and three. Vishel chamisha, if it's a parsha of five psukim, biyochid, Kara, you have to read as one person. One aliyah. There's no way to split up five psukim to two. Rishon shlosha. So the first guy reads three. Hasheni kara shnai mi parsha zu ve'echa mi parsha acher. So he has to read two psukim from this end of the parsha and one pasuk from the next parsha. V'yeshom, and others suggest, shlosha v'fishein maschilin b'parsha pachas mishlosha psukim. He says, no. You can read two psukim from the previous parsha, and when you read the next parsha, it's not enough to read one. There's a klal. You always have to read at least three psukim into the next parsha. So he says, v'im isa l'man damar dolig dole nidlog u'l'man damar posig nifsok. This is a problem both to Rav and Shmuel. Rav and Shmuel were both amorim, and they're not allowed to argue on brises. Rav maybe can, but we're assuming right now they can't. So then, how could they suggest to skip, rather to interrupt, or to repeat? Why didn't the Brisa suggest that? Why didn't the Brisa suggest that instead of we have five psukim, just repeat pasuk three two times, or to interrupt in the middle? And the fact they don't suggest either stopping or repeating tells us that both Rav and Shmuel are perhaps incorrect. So answers the Gemara, Shiny Hasam there, Efshir Bahachi. There it's a possibility. There we're talking about a Kriyas HaTorah in the entire Parsha. There's many more psukim to read. When it comes to Rosh Chodesh, we're very limited. When it comes to Breishis, we're very limited what you could do because we're only allowed to read about Maisa Breishis when bringing their Karbanos. You can't read beyond that. So we're very limited what the options are. That's why either repeating or interrupting are the only options. When it comes to this case here, when the Gemara brings the Breisa, you can keep reading on to the next, further into the Barsha, and there's no difficulty with doing that. So again, repeating or interrupting is only really a last resort. Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Amar Yeshu ben Levi halacha ki Yesh Omrim." We pass like the Yesh Omrim that when you start a next parsha, you have to go at least three psukim into the next parsha. "Amar Rabbi Tanchum, Amar Yeshu ben Levi k'shem shein maschilim a parsha pachas mishlosha psukim." Just like you cannot begin a parsha less than three psukim, kach ein mishayarin b'parsha pachas mishlosha psukim. So too, you cannot leave over at the end of a parsha less than three psukim. So Gemara says, "Pshita." That's a pretty obvious point. What's Rabbi Yeshu ben Levi coming to add on? Hashta ma aschalasa de kamaimekil tanikama machmiri. So by the beginning where the tanikama is mekil that you're allowed to read one pasuk into the next parsha, but the yesh omrim are machmir. So shira de machmir tanikama lokoshkin de machmir yesh omrim. So if the tanikama is machmir on leaving over, so certainly yesh omrim will be machmir as well. The Gemara says no. Mal the same. You would have thought something different. That nichnas and shchichi yotzen lo shchichi. Then when it comes to people coming in late, people, that's very common for people to walk into shul late. But for people to leave early, that's not so common, so therefore there shouldn't be concern on the other end. The man chay sefer Torah nafek, a person is going to leave while the sefer Torah is open? Impossible. No, who would do that? Kamash Milan, a person would be allowed to, there's a concern that people might leave early. Now this is a real halacha maisha, this is a real shaila. When the Sefer Torah is open, a person is not allowed to leave from the Sefer Torah. It's brought down the Gemara in Sota and the Gemara in Brachos that Rav Sheshis would learn when the Sefer Torah was wide open. So the Gemara asks, how is that possible? I think Tosos deals with this also. Gemara Tosos, I don't remember which one now. That he says, no, because Rav Sheshis, before the Torah was opened up, he already was learning. He was at the earlier minyan, he was Yotzei Kriyas HaTorah already on Monday, Thursday. So he was learning. He happened to be where he learned, and he brought in a minyan. And so what was he going to do? Stop learning for the next 15 minutes? So he's allowed to learn. Everybody knew. He wasn't turning his back to the Sefer Torah. He was already engrossed in his learning. That's permitted. But if you're listening to the Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to walk out in the middle of the reading of the Torah. So the Gemara now says, where are we? Tanakama. Maishna Shira Dilo, Mishum Yotzin, Aschulanami Xer Mishum Nichnasim. So why did the Tanakama say that you can't leave over? Because the Yotzin, the beginning also, those who walk in late, you should also be concerned of Nichnasim. So he says, Amri man da'il, the guy who walks in late, it's not a problem. Even though he missed the first two psukim, he'll think only two psukim were last. We're read, he'll think. Let's say they start from Pasuk Gimel. And he walks in for the sheni, they start Pasuk Gimel. He's going to assume the first two psukim, the first aliyah was only two psukim. That's a problem. So there's not so much of an issue, because what's going to happen? He's going to say, wait a second. He's going to ask the guy next to him, Shiyula Shaila. He's going to ask the guy next to him, what, they read only two psukim for Kohen? And they'll answer, no, they repeated a pasuk or something like that. So therefore, there's not so much of a concern when a guy walks in late. He'll ask the guys around him. The guy who leaves, walks out later, he's not going to know whatever happened after he left. There's nobody to ask anymore. So the Gemara tells us now, Shalach Lei Rabba Breid Rava L'Rav Yosef Hilchas Amai. What's the bottom line here? So Shalach Lei, he responded back to him, Hilchas Adolig V'Emsari Dolgim. The halacha is that you repeat a pasuk, and the middle pasuk you repeat. So this is referring to, I think, Maisa Bereishis. Let's see. I'm not sure from the Amish Rab, I'm not sure which one. Maybe it's referring to even Rosh Chodesh, but we know we read through Rosh Chodesh and says, okay, fine. So we know we, yeah? Rosh Chodesh? Okay. So that pasuk, that's why pasuk, that we do repeat the second aliyah, repeat one pasuk, the middle pasuk, in order to satisfy that problem. Gemara now says, Hain Zeh Klal Kol Sheyesh Bo Musaf. The Klal was any day that has a Musaf. We said that there are four, if it's a Musaf and there's no Yontif, you read four aliyahs, like Rosh Chodesh, Chol Hamoed, are not Yom and Tovim, but they are, they do have a Karban Musaf. So the Gemara asks, Yibaylo, Tainis Tzibor Bekama, how many do you read on a Tainis Tzibor? Rosh Chodesh, Umoedika, Karban Musaf, Arba. Those 2 days have a Musaf, Aval Hacha, Deleka, Karban Musaf, Lo, but here, Tainis Tzibor does not have a Karban Musaf, so it would only be three aliyahs. Odilma Hachanami Ika Musaf Tfila. Here, although there's not a carbon musaf, there's no tamid, there's no carbon musaf rather, there's no tfilas musaf, there's a musaf in the tfila. What's the musaf in the tfila, guys? Anenu, the extra bracha anenu, we say, Gemara and Tainus tells us there's an extra bracha that said that the Shliach Tzibor says on a Tainus. So maybe because the extra bracha, although it's not an extra tefillah, it's an extra bracha, maybe that should warrant a fourth aliyah. So the Gemara brings a raya, Toshma Berashi Chadashim Uvachal Shemoed Karin Arba. Only those 2 days you say four. Aha, but Tainus, the implication is on a Tainus Tzibor, you'd only reach Shlosha. So that's the diak to be made. But then the Gemara says, wait a second, look at the Reisha. Eimer Reisha, the Mishnah said, B'sheini v'chamishi b'shabbos b'mincha korin shlosha. Only those 3 days, Mondays, Thursdays, and Shabbos minchas, when you read three, the implication here is, ha'tainis tzibur arba. You would read four for ha'tainis tzibur. So you have two opposite implications. Gemara says, ela mehal leka l'mashma mine. So therefore, since it's two opposite, contradictory implications, we cannot conclude anything from our Mishnah. Let's move on to another raya. Toshma, the Rav Ikle, the Bavel, one time Rav visited Bavel, it was a Tainis Tzibor, Kom Kar B'Sifra, he's reading from the Sefer Torah, Pasuk Baruch Chasim V'lo Baruch. So Pasuk Baruch, he opened up and he said a bracha, Chasim V'lo Baruch, and he finished the leaning, and he didn't say bracha afterwards. Nafal Chul Alma and Fayu, everyone did the Tachanun, they fell on their face and they did Tachanun. V'Rav Lo Nafal Alapay, he did not fall onto his face, he did not do Nefilas Apayim, he did not do Tachanun. So Michle, let's understand this for a moment. Rav B'Yisrael Kari, so my time of chasim v'lo baruch, Rav was ready as a shlishi as the Yisrael. So why didn't he say bracha after he finished? That was the last. Everybody agrees. The Mishnah says, even if we don't paskin yet, how we do nowadays, where everyone Kohen Levi Yisrael say beginning bracha and the end bracha, at least everyone in history from the beginning of Kriyas Torah, Kohen said the bracha in the beginning and the Yisrael said the bracha at the end. There's always one bracha in the beginning, one bracha at the end. So Rav was the Yisrael. It's Yadua. So he had the third aliyah, obviously. So why did he not say bracha at the end? He concluded all the kriyas haTorahs. So the Gemara explains, it's like my time, hasam v'lo baruch, lav mishum debay l'mikra yachrina basrei. Is it not because they had to read a fourth aliyah? So we bring a rye here that on a tiny seaboard there are actually four aliyahs here. He was read a shlishi. So that's why he wasn't chasam at the end. Gemara says, no, lo, rab the kahana kara. He read as a kohen, but he wasn't a kohen. How could he do that? The Rav Huna Kari Bekane. Rav Huna was also called as a Kohen. So this is Talo in Sugis and Gittin that really is supposed to give the Kohen the first Aliyah, right? Rashi quotes the Gemara and Gittin there because we don't want there to be any fighting in the Shul. But if you have a certain Gad Hador who's there, then you would be allowed to give him the Aliyah. So even though Rav wasn't a Kohen and even though Rav Huna wasn't a Kohen, they were still called as Kohanim. And that's why he did not say Bracha after he concluded his Aliyah.
What's Tachnun doing after
Leining? As opposed to what, Vidur?
Tachnun is usually before the
laning. Oh, in terms of that, Tainis Tzibor, oh, that's a good question. The Slichas are beforehand also.
Yeah.
It's a good question. Why is Tachnun after Kriyas HaTorah? Good question.
Talking about the afternoon Shemoneh
Esrei. Maybe the afternoon Shemoneh Esrei. That must be what it is. Yeah, very good. Okay, yeah. Mincha. Yeah, that makes sense then. Okay, very good. So the Gemara then says, "Bishlam." This all makes sense. Rav Huna Kari Vikane. We understand why Rav Huna was called the Kohen as Kohen because the Ha'afilu Rav Ami Rav Asi the Kane Chashuva Da'ar Yisrael Michav Kaifile the Rav Huna. Even Rav Ami and Rav Asi, who were the Kohanim, the Chashiv of the Chashiv of Israel, they were still leaned. They still gave in to Rav Huna. They respect Rav Huna. They acknowledge him as being a Gadol Hador. I think Rav Huna was the son-in-law of the Reish Chalutza. Is that correct? They say this here.
Son-in-law of who?
I think he was the son-in-law of the Reish Chalutza. I could be wrong about this. I think so. Either way, so even though, again, even Rav Ami Rasi, who were the Chashuve, were Kohanim of the greatest Kohanim of Eretz Yisrael, they were still Meshubah to Rav Huna, so they let Rav Huna be read first. Ella Rav, how could Rav be read first as Kohen? Ha'ika Shmuel de Kana Hava. Shmuel was a Kohen, so how could Rav read before Shmuel, who was actually Kohen, and Shmuel was seemingly in the same level as Rav? V'davar leha nami michav havelai kaifulai the Rav. So the Gemara answers, it must be, I think this is part of the answer now, right? Let's see, where's Rashi here? Which Rashi says, you see, V'davar Elayah. So Rashi explains, Nohok hayal liyos lamal me'rav. Shmuel was more chashuv than Rav. So how could Rav read before Shmuel? Shmuel was a Kohen, and Rav and Shmuel was even greater than Rav, apparently. Gemara says, Rav hu da'avid lay kavod. V'chi avid lay b'fanav, shlo b'fanav lo'avid lay. So what's the answer here? So Rashi explains, Rav Huna David lahay dadre alei kavod hava avid le mishum delay to Rav Lishmuel delo look me bini. So Rav was just showed that case. Rav apparently showed a certain amount of kavod to Shmuel because Rav once cursed Shmuel, so he had to really compensate and show an utmost respect to Shmuel. But really, Beetzem Rav is really more chashiv than Shmuel. That particular case where Rav showed more kavod to Shmuel was because Rav was trying to compensate for something that he once did to Shmuel. But really, Rav was greater, and that's why Rav was able to be called first. So again, so he only showed kavod b'fanav, shlo b'fanav, he didn't do these types of kavod. So Hachanami Mesavra, this is very logical to say, the Gemara explains, the Rav Kani Kare, that Rav is called as a Kohen, because the Sakadai Techa B'Yisrael Kare, if he was really read as a Shlishi, Karel Fanel, my time of Baruch. If he was called as Shlishi, why did he say Bracha before? And the Gemara said before that Rav was called up. He said Bracha before, and he didn't say Bracha afterwards. So if he's called as Shlishi, why did he say Bracha before? And therefore, must be he was saying the Kohen. He was called as a Kohen. The Gemara says no. Perhaps this was La'acher Takana after they made the Takana that each Ali has to say Bracha before and afterwards. So Gemara says, "Ihach." If that was the case, so lachar nami levarich. Then even if he was called as shlishi, he should still have to say bracha afterwards. Why didn't he say bracha afterwards? Gemara says, "Shiny heicha the yasir rav the mile aile mifik lo nafki." It's fascinating. So Rav, so whenever Rav walked into the shul, no one would ever walk out when Rav walked in. The only reason why there's a bracha after every single aliyah was because there's a concern the guy who might walk out earlier didn't know they said a bracha after the aliyah. But when Rav comes into the shul, nobody leaves shul anymore. So there's no need to say a bracha after he had the aliyah. So he said a bracha beforehand, as a shlishi, let's say. And he didn't say a bracha afterwards, even though it's possible that there's a guy who's a revi. He didn't say a bracha afterwards, and even though this was after the takana, because it was unnecessary bracha, because no one would ever walk out. The guy will wait for revi, everybody will wait for revi, and they'll hear that the revi aliyah will say the bracha afterwards. Okay, Gemara now says, Tashma brings another raya to the same idea. We're trying to prove what here? We're trying to prove again that Tainus Tzibur, how many aliyahs do we say? So the Gemara brings a raya on the top of Chav Beis Mabeis, Tashma, Zaklal, this is the rule, Kol Sheish, Ba Bittul Malach Alam, any day that it's a certain level of Isser Malacha, so then the Lacha is that Kagon Tainus Tzibur and Tisha B'Av, where you can't work on these days, Karin Shlosha, Ushain Bittul Malacha, Kagon Rashi Chadashim, Chal Shemot Karin, meaning the days that you're, other way around, the days that you're allowed to work, and there will be bit the melacha by staying an extra few minutes, and sure, you're going to miss the train, so then they only had three aliyahs. But in a day where you're not allowed to do work in the first place, where at least work is limited, like Chol Hamoed and Rosh Chodesh, so then they're allowed to add in a fourth aliyah, people are not rushing to work. So you see from here clearly, Shema Mina, that they read four, three aliyahs only on Tainus Tzibur.
So now today is you have to learn three on Rosh Chodesh.
Say again, that what?
Nowadays,
don't do the melacha on
correct. That is correct. The Tosa asks this question maybe. Tosa addresses the question. Look at Tosa on the top here. V'shein ben bitim malacha kigom Rosh Chodesh v'kar narba. You're allowed to read four aliyahs on Rosh Chodesh because there's no bitim malacha. No one's going to work on Rosh Chodesh, right? V'kashe, the Habe Perkein Dorshin b'chagiga daf yud ches arminan Rosh Chodesh yochiach sheish bo karbon musaf u'motir basiyas malacha. You're allowed to do malacha on Rosh Chodesh and everybody does do malacha on Rosh Chodesh. Yeshomer devale mutter hu basiyas malacha la nashim. To men, it's certainly permitted. Aval nashim to women asuros b'malacha lafisha lo parku nizmem v'maisa ha'egu because they did not give up their jewelry for Egal Zav. They were Zocha. Initially, the way it was, Rosh Chodesh was given to the Yud Beis Shvatim. They were Zocha. But after the Yud Beis Shvatim, not including Levi, Levi was not one of the 12 Shvatim. Yosef was, but not Levi, so they have 12 Shvatim. Each month is connected to a different Sheva. They lost the Rosh Chodesh because they were involved in Egal Zav. So the women who were not involved, they were Zocha, they earned the Rosh Chodesh to be there. So they have an Issa Melacha. Now the difficulty with the Tosas is, the women are not going to Shul. Where, you know, even if they're not allowed to work, the men have to go work. So the extra Leah is being, it's going to be a problem for the men who have to stay an extra few minutes, and they're the ones going to work. Yeah. So I don't know how this answers the question. It answers the question in terms of the steer of Issa Melacha versus a Heter Melacha, that one Gemara is referring to men, one's referring to the women, but I don't know how it solves the problem of not being a bit of Melacha. Okay. Gemara says further now, Amar Rav Ashi v'ha anar lo tanan hachi. We don't have such a Mishnah. We have the Mishnah tells us hachi zeh haklal kol yom sheyesh bo musaf veino yomtiv karin abar. Any day that has musaf and it's not yomtiv, you say four aliyahs. Lasuya mai, what's this klal coming to include? My love, lasuya a tiny sibur v'tishavav. It must be coming to include these days that there are four aliyahs. So we do have four aliyahs on tiny sibur. Ulrav Ashi masisa nami lo tanakama lo Rabbi Yosi. And according to Rav Ashi, our Mishnah is not like any of these following Tanas. How do we see this? The Tanya. Chalios b'sheni b'chamishi karen shlosha u'maftir echad. So which is referring to? If what falls out on any day?
What's the question?
It's a tiny Sibur here, right?
Yeah,
okay. And Tishra. So what happens? If Tanya Sibur or Tishra falls out on Monday or Thursday, so you read three aliyahs, u'maftir echad. Right, you read the Maftir as the fourth aliyah because we read Haftorah on Tainus Tzibur and Tisha B'Av. But let's say it falls out Shlishi or Vi, you know, Tuesday or Wednesday. I would add even on a Rishon, let's say, on Sunday. It falls out, then Kari Echad and Maftir Echad. You don't need to read three aliyahs. You read one regular aliyah and you have one Maftir aliyah. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Liolam Karin Shlosha. You always read three aliyahs, even if it falls out on a Tuesday and a Wednesday. Maftir Echad. So, how is this a problem here? So, you see here, according to all opinions here, that Tanya Tzibur and Tisha B'Av are read with either two or four, not three. Right? If it's a Monday, Thursday, you have four aliyahs, and Tuesday, Wednesday, you have two aliyahs. Elakashya, Zaklal. So, what's Zaklal coming to include? Lo lasu Rosh Chodesh, Umoed, Habhedi Katani. They can't come to include those days because the Mishnah is Mefurish that those days you have four. So, Rosh Chodeshim, as he quotes, Umoed, Karin Arba. So Gemara says, "Simana ba'alma yahav delo tema yomtiv v'chal shemoed ki adad eninu." You know, sometimes this is an exception. Usually, when you have a klal, when the Mishnah says a certain rule, it comes to include a new case that wasn't mentioned. This is an exception. I don't know if it comes out anywhere else in Shas. That this time, this klal is not coming to include anything new. It's just a simon, being just serving to us as a reminder. Don't get confused between chal moed and yomtiv, because we know chal moed is a type of yomtiv. It's a quasi yomtiv. You might get confused that maybe chal moed should also require five aliyahs. So as not to confuse it, they want it to be very, very clear that the rule is whenever there's musaf and no melacha, the halacha is four aliyahs and not five aliyahs. Ella nakin high klal biyadeich. The Gemara goes on to explain this and hold on to the following klal. Called it tfele milsa any day that has one level up from michavre from its partner tfele gavre yisera. It has an extra aliyah, so you always build up. So let's see hilchach. Therefore brosh cholish and moedika karbon musaf. So again, let's backtrack for a second. A chol a weekday reading is three aliyahs. Rosh Chodesh and Moed, Dika Karbon Musaf, it has a Karbon Musaf, so it goes up one to four aliyahs Karin Arba. B'Yom Tov, which has an additional, not only does it have a Karbon Musaf, it has another added factor, the Asir B'Asis Melacha, that goes to Chamisha, five. Yom HaKippurim, Donish Karis, goes up a level that's not only that is an Isser Melacha, but there's an Isser Karchiv Karis that goes up to Shisha, 6. And Shabbos, it's a Skila. Skila is more severe than Karis that goes up to Shiva. So that's the way to help remember all these different things. Okay, the Gemara now says, Gufa, Rav Iklei the Bava. One time Rav was visiting Bava Batayna Sibor. We said this earlier. Whenever you see the word Gufa, Gufa is quoting a statement that was mentioned earlier in the Masechta, earlier in the Daf, not necessarily the Daf, but earlier. So Gufa, we're repeating again that Rav visited Bavel on a Tiny Sefer. Kam Kra, the Sifra, he read in the Sefer Torah, Pasach Baruch Chasim V'lo Baruch. He opened up, said a bracha, leaned, finished, but didn't say bracha afterwards. Nafel Chuliyama Al Ampe, 5. Everyone fell Tachanun, as we pointed out before from Stephen, that it was Mincha time.
It can't be Mincha, though, because they don't say Tachanun now until after Shmon Esrei, Torah's long away. That's his Machter.
No, it doesn't mean that. No, maybe you have to fill in the down Shmon Esrei, and then they didn't say every single detail. They didn't say they took 3 steps back and 3 steps forward. They're only recording things that were actually important here, that Chiddush. The Chiddush is that he did not do Tachanun, that's the Chiddush we want to know. But you have to assume they davened Shmon Esrei also. They didn't mention Shmon Esrei here at all.
Another point was that they fell Tachanun right after, because he did the bracha, fell Tachanun right away.
Yeah, I don't think the point was that it was Miyad. The point is that everyone did Tachanun, but Rav did not do Tachanun. So they're just listing all the important situations that happened then. But there was Ashrei before and also, they didn't mention Ashrei. There's Shmon Esrei. So I think they're just mentioning, again, the certain Chiddushim that took place in that event. Yeah. Chas, you had a question? No? Oh, okay. Fine. So the Gemara says, so afterwards, again, Nafal Chuliyama Alan Fayu, everyone did Tachanun. But Rav lo Nafal Alan Pei, Rav did not perform Tachanun. My time, Rav lo Nafal Alan Pei, shouldn't he have done Tachanun? Ritzba Shela Vanim Haisa, very important halachal maisa. If you're davening in a shul, a place that has stone floor, you cannot do Tachanun. Now, you can do regular Tachanun like this, but you can't bow down in Yom Kippur. That's a big problem. Rosh Hashanah, you can't bow down. Now, the halacha is also, even on a carpet, you're not supposed to lie down without having an interruption, a hefsek. Now, there's no Isser Deraisa to bow down on the carpet, but there's a gzera that if you bow down on a carpet, you might come to bow down on a regular stone floor. And so, as a gzera, we always have something below, between the body and the floor.
Any floor,
you always have to have a separation, because a gzeira, if you lie, do bowing down on a stone, that's a real isser. So Gemara says, so Rav didn't do nefilas apayim, because there was a ritz b'shel avanim, was made of stone. V'tanya v'evin maskis lo titnu bar tzachem l'shachavus aleha, yata m'shachave bar tzachem, aval ata m'shachave al avanim shabeis ha-migdash. You can't bow down in stone anywhere in the world, except for if it's in the Beis HaMikdash. That's the only place where it's permitted. Since it certainly was not the Beis HaMikdash, although it was a shul, there was an issur to bow down in the stone. So the Gemara says, so kedula, tamrula lo asa Torah el ritzba shel avanim bevad. So the issur is only when it comes to stone. So this was a stone floored shul, and therefore there's an issur. So if that's the case, yihachi, my you're Rav. Why was Rav the only one not doing Nefias Apayim? I feel Chulinami Kame, everyone else should have not done Nefias Apayim as well. So Gemara says, Kuli Nami Kame the Rav Hava, rather Kame the Rav Hava, the stone was only in front of Rav, who lays on the Gavit Sibur. So only in front of his area where there was a stone, he couldn't bow down. Everybody else, they had carpet or something, that was permitted. So why not Velezo Lagavit Tzibur? So why didn't he just go into the Tzibur, walk a few steps back into where the carpet was, for Limpalara Ape and do Nefias Apayim over there? Where it says he lo by Lemitchach Litzibur, if he's going to walk through the aisle, they're going to stand up, spread, give him some room. It's going to ruin the flow of davening, and he didn't want to interrupt them. So therefore he stayed in place and opted not to do Nefias Apayim.
Does it mean that he didn't say Tachanun at all, or he just didn't?
L'chori, he said Tachanun without Nefias Apayim, because we have situations, if you're in a place where there's no Sefer Torah, you would still say it without
No place to sit.
Right, exactly that too also. Even when there's no place to sit, you can still and should still stand up and do like that. But either way, I assume he probably did say it, just didn't do the bowing of the head. Now, bowing of the head, I only thought the Isser was Mamish bowing down. So it's possible they did. I think the Gemara is going to explain this in a second. Okay.
Well, Yom Kippur, should we not bother everybody and try to get to the middle section to do? And they do.
No, because we're not like Rav. We're not going to cause so much issues. When Rav walks through, everyone like stops and then quiets and then stands up for him. But what?
You think they make room for him? Everybody knew him, by the way.
No, they would. That would be the problem. But when we go, here it wouldn't really create so much of a ruckus, I don't think. So Gemara says, alternatively, Rav Pishi Adayim Raglaim Hava Avid. he would really mamish lie down on the ground, spread his legs and his arms. The only iser is not to bend your head down. Our type of tachanun you could do even though there's a stone floor. The only iser, as Ula says, is when your mom is spread out on the floor. That's how Rav would do his nefilas apayim. And everybody else, the Chora, was not doing this, so therefore they were allowed to do the, you know, bowing onto their arm. Meaning the entire shul was stone. And this was mincha time. I'm not sure if they wore tefillin at mincha time necessarily, but still. Yes, whatever it was, but yeah, that's not a problem. But according to this answer, the entire shul was stone floor, so everybody else who did a regular tachanun like that, that's okay in a stone floor. Rav was makbet to lie down, so that would not be allowed on a stone floor. So the Gemara says, okay, so why was he so machmir? So maybe in that shul, where he was visiting in Babel, he shouldn't have done a full spreading out of the body. Maybe he should lie down on his, bend down onto his arm, and that would be enough. So Gemara says, Lo Mishanami Minhaga, he didn't want to change his minhag. His minhag was this way, and there's no changing from minhagim. So that's what he kept to. And this happens to be just a fascinating halacha, because there's a halacha when it comes to davening in a shul. Very nogeh for people who are Ashkenaz davening in Sfarad shuls or vice versa. So the halacha is you can't do something different than the tzibur. The tzibur is doing vidoy, you're supposed to do vidoy. Even though you might be in Ashkenaz, and we don't necessarily do vidoy after Shemoneh Esrei, if you're in a shul doing vidoy, you're supposed to do vidoy. If they're saying something out loud, you're supposed to do something out loud. Anything that's a noticeable difference, you have to say along with them. If you're saying Kaddish, let's say, and you're Ashkenaz, you have to say the Nusach of Sfar. That's how it works. So I'm not sure why this would be obviously a recognizable difference. He's standing up there in the front doing nothing, so you would imagine he would have to really change his minhag in order to fit into the tzibur. They answer, they ask this?
It says, yeah, Adam Chashav Shani.
That's a different point, though. That's another answer. It's addressing the answer, but it's not asking my question, though.
You switch to Ashkenaz?
No, in your own silent Shemoneh Esrei, all your davening, you do Ashkenaz. Only things that are done out loud, then you have to say what they say. For Kedusha, say what they say, things like that. Vidui. But your own personal davening, you stick to Ashkenaz. That's what I do also. I have two sidurim up in front. I have the Svard for the Kedusha, which I still don't know yet. I haven't memorized it yet. And for the regular davening, I use Ashkenaz. Okay. So I'm not sure, seeing anybody address this question here, but... Okay, but he asks this question here. He says, well, how could Rav do this? It's an issue of Lo Sisko to do. You can't have different factions within one shul. How can you do this? So he answers that I'm not sure he quotes here, but the answer he says, it's only an isser when you do something kum v'ase, when you're doing something actively that they're not doing. Meaning, let's say you're in a shir svard, in an Ashkenaz shul, and you start doing the vidois, that would be a problem. But to stand there doing nothing, shevi al tasa, just staying silent, that would be permitted according to this answer. So he sat there, he stood there, being quiet. That's one suggestion they say. There's a few other answers here. Okay, the Gemara now says, Ibai Seima, alternatively, Adam Chashav Shani, since he was Adam Chashav, it's different. Meaning what? Kid Rebbe Elazar, Damar Belazar, Ein Adam Chashav Rashai Lipol Apanav, Elam Kein Nene, Ki Yeshua Ben Nun, Nichsiv Ayom Hashem El Yeshua, Kum, we need the whole pasuk here on the side, let's get this in a second, where is this? Kum Lach Lama Zata Nofel Apanecha, Hashem says to Yeshua, you can't bow down your head unless you know you're going to be answered. Whatever the reason is behind that, the klal is, if you're Adam Chashav, you cannot bow down unless you know you're going to be answered. Rav was Adam Chashav, whatever the answer was going to be, whatever it's referring to, you can't do Nefias Apayim. Everybody else is allowed to. An Adam Chashav like Rav is not allowed to. Gemara says further now, Tanur Rabbanim, quotes of Raisa. Kida, what's Kida? Kida Alapayim. It's Shenemar. Kida means to mamish put your head, your face down. Bow down with your face only. Your face goes mamish down to the ground. How do you know that's the definition of Kida when the Pasuk uses Kida? Shenemar Vatikod Basheva Apayim Eretz Basheva, she bowed down her face to the ground. That's what Kida means. Kriya, bending. Al Habirkayim means when you bend the knees down, but you're still standing up. V'cheinu Omer Mikroa Al Birkav. Kriya has to do with the bending of the knees. Hishtachava Zu Pishu Yadayim Raglav. That's where your mamish spread out completely on the floor, hands and legs. Shenemar Havo Navo Ani V'imcha V'achecha Lishtachos L'cha Arza, to bow down on the Arza. Mamish, not only the Apayim on the Arza, but the entire body on the Arza, the entire body on the ground. Gemara has a ma'aser that we have a few places in Shas. Levi Achay Keda Kamei de Rebbe. One time Levi wanted to demonstrate exactly what a Kida was, bending your face down onto the ground. So when he had done this, he ended up, he injured himself on his thigh of some sort, and got a limp because of that. So because he was showing this in front of Rebbe. So Gemara says, where's Rashi? One second here. Rav Rashi explains, Achoy Keda, he was demonstrating a Keda, or Kida, Noet, what was he doing? He was Noet to go love of Nishan Alem. He placed his like thumbs in the ground and started leaning on them. Veshochad, Shenoshek, as a Ritzman, he bowed down during that position until he kissed the ground. Vezokiv, then he stood up. Very hard thing to do. Mutokshin, Yachal Ishan al Godlov, since you're not allowed to do this. Vein Yadav, Misael, Sosan, and you don't have any, your fingers are not supporting you, just your thumbs. But Kavasa, when he tried pushing himself up, Tarach Lisamez, but mostly you have the strength in your hips to pull you up. So the Mitokach Nitzla Bibuka Datme, he ended up hurting his hip in doing so. It's a very hard thing to do. I wouldn't advise anybody to try this at home. So that's, he got injured from doing this. The Gemara says, "V'ha kagarmila." Is that why he injured his hip because of demonstrating this kida? V'ha Rebbe Elazar liolam al yatiach adam dvarim klape mala. A person shouldn't say anything, throw his words up. Any dvarim kashim, any difficult words, shouldn't speak in such a harsh way to Shemayim. Why? V'edla, because sharei adam gadol hitiach dvarim klape mala. There's once an individual who spoke very harshly to Shemayim. V'edla, and he became injured because of this. And who was this person? Umani Levi. So we have another ma'aseh that caused his injury. One ma'aseh was because he was trying to show a kida, and the other ma'aseh because he was saying very harsh words up to Shemayim. So Gemara says, Hav ha garmi le. Both of them together had caused this injury to Levi. Let's go one more line now. Gemara says, Amar Rav Chia bar Abin, Chazina leha l'abai v'rava, I once saw, Dematzli atzluye. What does that mean? Rashi says on the top of Chav Gimlam and Aleph, Dematzli atzluye al tzidei, and they were davening on their side. Though noflin al pnei mamish, they weren't mamish on their faces, just on the side. Lefishein adam chasher rashai li pull upon them. Sounds like they're kind of doing in between bending. They didn't want to be, I guess, they didn't want to show off that they're adam chashiv, but they knew that they were. So they wanted to show they were doing it a little bit, but they weren't really doing a full nefilas sapayim. Okay, I will stop here. We'll pick up tomorrow, 9 o'clock. Sorry, I'm a little tired of this losing of sleep. Perfect. Yeah.
So you're up. So-